speak, not the dog, that would, we need a big, big bag for that dog. Right, Luis? Isn't that right? Sorry, that dog scared me a little bit last night. He ran by my window. But, you know what, even though I kind of did say it early, I'm not sorry you preached it.
Amen.
That was the best message we heard last year on a Friday night.
Amen.
And folks, that's true. We're all pharaohs about many things. Probably not one, many.
Sure.
We've heard it. We know it's wrong. We know it's not going to work out. We know the devil's going to get involved in it and ruin our life with it, but we still go after it. Just to see if that principle holds true for our life. And it does. It always does. But Brother Todd, I thank you for what you had to say. I appreciate your message. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to be tonight. So if you turn over there in the Word of God. And when you get there, if you go ahead and stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We'll try to let you out as soon as possible. But folks, even though Kenny Bowman's gone, God's still here.
Amen.
Amen. And he's got something to say to us tonight.
That's right.
And I thank God for giving me this opportunity to speak to you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. In your Bibles, if you would. Brought my cloth tonight in case I get hot. I needed it last time, I preached. Good night. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 14. The Bible says there, it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray, Lord. Thank you for this night, God. I thank you for this youth conference, Lord. As Brother Bob has said just a few minutes ago, God, it's unbelievable. I mean, Lord, there's certain things I can imagine and I can hope for, and I can plan out the best I can, and with other people's help, which I'm very thankful for them, Lord. But God, I never imagined that you would do all that you have done this week, and I'm so thankful for it, Lord. And God, it's not because of me, Brother Kenny, any person except you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. Thank you for the lives changed, Lord. And God, I pray that the days ahead would just be a demonstration that it is real, that it is a real change, Lord. And God, that you have changed our lives, that we are new creatures in you, Lord. God, I pray you would help me tonight, God. God, I'm not worthy to be up here. And God, most of the stuff I'm going to say, people have probably already heard. But God, I pray you would just please work through me tonight. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. God, focus me on your scriptures, God. I can't worry about anything before or after the service. I need to focus right here on your word right now, God. I pray you would help me. Help the folks to listen to what you have them here for tonight, Lord. You came to speak to them. Lord, I thank you for Brother Tut's message, Lord, about are you a Pharaoh, Lord? Many of us are, Lord, about many things. I pray you would help us to get that right with you, Lord. And God, I pray you'd use me tonight, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the week that we've had.
Amen.
God, I pray you bless this last service. And I pray you would honor and glorify your name and lift you up. Not anyone else, Lord, only you. Lord, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 here, what we have going on is the Apostle Paul is writing once again to the church at Corinth. And Paul in this great chapter lays down some great doctrinal teachings at the beginning of this chapter. He begins by talking about in verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, what he's talking about is our physical bodies and then our eternal bodies, our glorified bodies. He says that we know, as Christians, we know that when we die and this earthly tabernacle, this earthly body that we have, this physical body, when it dissolves, when it decays, when it's gone, we have a glorified body, a body we're going to have in heaven. And I don't know about you, but when I get my glorified body, I'm going to be walking down the streets of gold. I'm going to be going in my mansion. Y'all stay out. It's mine. I'm kidding about that. But I thank God so much that we can look forward to that. Hey, how can folks that are unsaved, how can they make it when they don't have things that we'll look forward to like us? And a lot of times we walk around like, what's our problem?
Exactly.
We got that to look forward to.
He goes through and he talks about this glorified body. And he goes through and he says, of course, we don't have it now because we're present in this body and we're absent from the Lord in his presence, that is. But one day, we're going to be absent from this body and we're going to be present with the Lord. It's pretty good stuff. Then he goes through after he talks about the glorified body and he deals with the matter of the judgment seat of Christ. Folks, for saved people, now if you're unsaved and you don't get saved before you die, you're going to stand at the great white throne judgment. And if you never get saved, you're going to hear these words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." I hope you don't have to hear those words. But for us that are saved, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. See, it says in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, folks, a couple quick things about this verse 10 by way of introduction. It says we must all appear. That's talking about every single saved person is going to appear. See, not in a big group. Not Woodlawn Baptist Church as a whole. Not the staff as a whole. No, no, no. One by one. You're not there with your dad. You're not there with your mom. You're not there with your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You're not there with your friends. You're there by yourself. You say, well, why am I there? Well, you're there by yourself, but it says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. The word appears two times. Done, done. You know what that's talking about? What have you done for the Lord here on earth? Folks, the judgment seat of Christ is not talking about heaven and hell. That's already been settled at Calvary, amen? If you got saved, you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's taken care of. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you're saved, you're always saved. But after you get saved, listen, folks, you can't work your way to heaven, but after your salvation, your works do count. Because it says, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Hey, folks, some of you, you know what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to ask you one-on-one? And you can't phone a friend and you can't ask the audience. He's going to ask you one-on-one and he's going to say, what have you done for me? What have you done for me? That's what he's going to ask. Some of you thinking right now, what would I say? Listen, if you can't think of something now, you won't be able to think of something then. If you say, what are you saying, Tom? I'm saying, if you're not doing anything for God now, you won't have anything to say then. So what does that mean? I get busy now. Listen, I get on a bus route, or I get in a class, or I come out tomorrow night, or I do whatever God's called me to do, because listen, I want to have something to tell him when he asks me. I shudder to think, but I'm pretty sure this is going to be a reality for a lot of people, that when Jesus asks you, what did you do for me? They're going to, nothing, Lord. Can you imagine telling Jesus Christ that? The one who, if he raises his hands, has a nail scar for you? Can you imagine telling him that? Lord, I don't want to tell you. I don't want to have to tell you that. Folks, I'm not preaching on this tonight, but what are you going to tell him when you stand before him? I like what Paul says, though. It's amazing that Paul can say this, but in the beginning of verse 6, it says, therefore we are always confident. Verse 8, if you skip down to that, he says, we are confident, I say willing rather, to be absent from the body and present. Well, yeah, I want to be with the Lord too. I mean, but the next verse, he jumps in about the judgment seat. And he says, I'm confident. Paul, how can you be confident when, I mean, for me, I'm scared to death when I think of that. How can you be confident? Well, verse 9 gives us the answer. Wherefore we labor. I'm getting to work. You know why? Because I want to have something to tell Jesus Christ. I want to have something to show him. This is my life. This is what I've given to you. Maybe it's not a lot. Maybe I could have done more, but at least I have something for you, God. I want to have something for him. He says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Paul says, I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, next month, next year. But because I don't know, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work as if it is tonight or tomorrow. I want to be ready. You know why? He said, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Teenagers, stop worrying about being accepted by him and her and them and they, and start worrying about it being accepted by him. Again, this is not salvation. This is not going to heaven or going to hell. This is talking about your works. Hey, would Jesus accept your works? Are they wood, hay, stubble? Junk? Are they gold, silver, precious stone? Usable things. The Bible says our works are going to be tried by fire. So if your works are wood, hay, stubble, you may even be serving the Lord, but it could be for the wrong motive, for the wrong reason. That's wood, hay, stubble, folks. I don't want that. Listen, I don't want to waste my time on bus four. Every time I get to preach, I don't want it to be wood, hay, stubble. Every time I get to sing, I don't want it to be wood, hay, stubble. I want it to be something useful, something good for Jesus that I can give to Him. Say, Lord, you gave your whole life for me. Here's something for you. Here's something for you. But then after He lays out these great doctrines at the beginning of this chapter, then He comes to a point where He tells the Corinthians that God has performed an extreme makeover life edition on them. And it's time for them to live it out. That's what He says in verse number 17 and continuing on after that. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Folks, this conference has been great. And you know one thing about this conference, I was thinking about it today. It has laid down a lot of great doctrinal teachings. Great doctrinal truths. You say, like what? Well, Sunday night when he talked about by faith, Brother Kenny, he said you won't make it unless you live it by faith. And that's true. Folks, you're not going to make it as a Christian if you don't do it by faith. He said also, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You're not going to please God. Listen, I don't care how hard you work, how nice the clothes you have, how loud you sing. If you're not doing it by, if you don't have faith in you, you're not pleasing Him. He talked Monday night about don't take anything from Sodom. He said the world has nothing for you. He's right. That's good. You know what doctrines are? It's just teachings. It's just solid Bible teachings. That's what we've heard this week. We heard last night, it's your turn to step up. It's your turn to step up. Young people in here, you know it. Now it's time. It's your turn to step up and do something about it. Enough sitting on the bench. Enough watching the older folks do it. Hey, some of y'all, you know, I remember, Brother Chuck, for years and years and years, we'd have the bus director, Brother Kanucky, or whoever, Brother Steve, come up, and I remember time and time again, you probably, as soon as I say this, some of y'all probably be like, yep, I remember that. You say, you know what? One of these, you teenagers, we're going to need somebody to take over from Brother Tripp and take over from Brother Chuck. Brother Chuck and Brother Tripp still working hard. But you know what? We don't have a lot of teenagers stepping up saying, I'm going to take that role. I'm going to do their job. When the time comes when they can't do it as well as they once have, I'm going to step up. Remember that for years and years. Hey, it's our time to step up. It's our time to do something. You don't have to wait. You don't need your cue card, as he was saying last night. Step up and do something. There's holes all over the place. Just step up and get involved. Do something for the Lord. But one of the things that really stuck out to me last night is when he was talking about the resilience of the foe. My goodness. If there is, I didn't even think of it before he said it, but if there is anything that you can tell somebody after a youth conference, is that the devil's not going to quit. See, we go to youth conference and we think, oh man, I've never experienced the Lord's blessing like this, and it's just so awesome and wonderful. Man, praise the Lord. Now it's just going to be great the rest of my life, and we all live happily ever after. And then you know exactly what's going to happen to you about a day later, 2 days later. Everything's just going to...
Say, yeah, when you're preaching, Tom. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Folks, and then, you know what? When the devil sees that happen, he said, oh, he's weak now. Let me come after him. And you're gone. You're done. Your decision, your little card we filled out, might as well rip it up. Because all the stuff you said is out the window, down the drain. It's no good. Unbelievable. Unbelievable how the Lord spoke to us like that. Your foe is determined. The devil is determined to get you. You better be determined to get him. But after all these great doctrines that have been laid down, we're coming to a point when the fact is apparent that God has done an extreme makeover life edition on our lives. And it's time you live like it. It's time you live like it. Listen, folks, the salvations we saw the last couple of days are the touch of God. They really are. The baptisms we've seen, the decisions. I mean, I walked by a situation last night, and it's just like the situation kind of indicated what happened. I looked up and I said, Lord, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. It's like a dream come true, really. Folks, the last couple of days have been like that. Prayers that have been prayed for years and months were answered. Unbelievable. God has done something in our lives. We have seen an extreme makeover life edition. You say, that's a cute little gimmick you have, Tom. A nice little saying, you know, whatever. No, folks, that needs to be a reality in our church. It needs to be a reality in our church. That's what he's saying when he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. A couple things about this message tonight, Extreme Makeover Life Edition. I want you to notice, number one, the person that can change. The person that can change. Look at verse 17 with me again, if you would. The person that can change. The Bible says, therefore, if any man. Therefore, if any man. Therefore, if any man. I want to focus on the two word, any man. Amen. Any man. I love the scope of this saying. You know what it's saying? Jesus can change the rich man. Jesus can change the poor man. Jesus can change the white man or the black man or the Spanish man. Jesus can change the smart man or the dumb man. Jesus can save the man that lives in the big house, or he can save the man that lives in the junky apartment. Jesus can save the man that drives the big car, or the guy that has to deal with the BMW. You say a Beamer? No, I'm talking about bus, metro, and walk. That's BMW. All right? Listen, Jesus can change the man with a great personality, or Jesus can change the man that's shy and doesn't really let himself out that much. I'm so glad that he can change the drunk. He can change the rapper. He can change the drug addict. He can change the pimp. He can change the prostitute. He can change the young. He can change the old. He can change the teen. He can change the child. I'm telling you something. He can change anybody. I'm so glad that he can. Hey, folks, that may be you tonight. You may be in here and say, Tom, you don't know what I've been through. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you look like. He can change you. You have God's word on it. It says, if any man, any man in the whole world, Jesus can change that person. I'm so glad. Listen, I'm so glad we don't have to make this stuff up, Tut. We don't have to, you know, man, what's a good thing to say to them tonight? Really get them pumped up. It's all in there, man. You just got to get in and find out. You can go get excited about it. Tell somebody. That's what preaching is, right? That may be you tonight. You say, man, I may be one of those things you just talked about. Listen to me. Jesus can change you. I look at all these pictures and I think, Lord, thank you for how you changed these people. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you know what? I might have mentioned this a couple nights ago. I'm not sure, but yeah, we might have dramatic, you know, outward appearance changes on these things. But how many pictures if we could have the x-ray on the inside of what Jesus has done on the inside? Thank God. Hey, I'd be up there. I might not have a big thing. Like I said, you can put the same picture of me on both sides. I've even looked the same since I was like 3 years old. I mean, you look at my picture. It looks the same, man. I had the beard and everything. You know, it's like, I don't know what happened. I don't change like that. But maybe that would go throughout the rest of my life. That would be a good thing, right? But folks, listen. The thing about Jesus, it's not just, see, these pictures, it's not just a change in the haircut, or a change in clothing, or a change in the makeup, ladies. Hopefully not guys. Right? It's not just a change there. You know, Jesus got on the Pharisees, said, you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, you make it all look good. You shine it up, you make it all look good, but the inside is full of extortion and excess and all these wicked things. Listen, these changes you see up here and the changes that we couldn't get a picture for on the inside, me, right, and some of you, it's not like that. See, this is a change from the inside out. See, if you get Jesus right on the inside, he'll take care of the outside. It's not just a new haircut. It's not just clothing. Man, it's Jesus changing the inside and bringing it to the outside as well. Praise the Lord for that. That may be you, though. He can change you tonight. It doesn't matter what you come from. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. I might have mentioned this before as well, but I think sometimes we give too many excuses to van kids and bus kids. Now, I'm not trying to say it's easy on. It's not. Okay, I'm not trying to make it just blow it off like it's no big deal. But I think sometimes, you know, Pastor, we tell them, well, I know. Let me get down and get with you guys, okay? Jay, we're going to play like you're a bus kid real quick. Is that okay? Can you give me a hola, what's up, da, no, something like that. Sometimes, this is what we do, Tut. Sometimes, oh, Jay, I know you've had a tough life. I know your parents. Right? And I know you've gone through tough things. And I know what happened to you as a little kid and all these different things. And you know, I know you, the gangs are around you and the drugs and the violence and all the drinking and all that stuff. So I understand if you go and ruin your life and get in a gang and drink and get on high on drugs. You know, I'm just not sure if my God can do it for you. That's kind of what we tell people sometimes. I got news for you. We need to stop that. Yeah, they might go through tough times. And yeah, it might be tough. You listen up. It might be tough on them. But listen, I just preached a couple weeks ago how his grace is sufficient. You know what that's talking about? He's got enough power to live for God as anybody else in this room if you're saved. I got the same amount of power that you do to live for God. That doesn't just apply to Bowie or Crofton. That doesn't just apply to white people, okay? That applies to everybody. If you got Jesus Christ living inside of you tonight, listen, you got His grace inside of you. You got His power inside of you. Listen, you can go to Him any second of any day and say, Jesus, I need your help, and He'll come through for you. Don't tell me this stuff is too hard for me. Don't tell me this stuff. You don't know about my parents. Don't tell me this stuff. My friends and all this, my neighborhood is too tough. No, not for Him. Last time I checked, He's omnipotent. What that's talking about, He's all powerful. So that just works for me, but not for you? I don't think so. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a little rough on you, but I think we got to stop that as a church. Well, just go ahead. Ruin your life. I understand. No, we shouldn't understand. No, we shouldn't understand. He can change any man.
Amen.
The person that can change the scope of it is anybody. But I'm so thankful that Jesus can take somebody that their life is in shambles and make them anew. Hey, Bobby's testimony, he talked about how he's in jail and Jesus changed his life. Your life may be in shambles tonight. Maybe not outwardly. You may be able to put on a good show and people ask you, how you doing? Oh, great. But you know you're lying. You may have lost your purity. You may have wasted your life for the last couple years. You may be angry. You may be in depression. You may have your dreams shattered. You may be empty. You may be thinking I'm ending it all. I was shocked to realize some of these testimonies we have in the booklet. People, I mean, you would never imagine. People that have a smile on their face all the time now used to be angry and ticked off all the time. And I'm like, that person? I don't even know they could get mad. Well, sometimes. Some of them I do. But it's amazing the change that Christ can make in a life, folks. Let's not put God in a box and say, oh, you do. And folks, by the way, He doesn't just show up when Kenny Baldwin's here.
Amen.
Okay? Listen, like I said, Kenny Baldwin may be out of town now, but God's not. God's still with us. God's still working on us. God's not done with you. Listen, as soon as Kenny Baldwin leaves, you don't have to go. Your Christian life goes right back down where it was. Every day you can meet with Jesus. Every day you can talk to Jesus. Every day you can learn from Jesus. Every day Jesus can live through you and change your life. Absolutely. You might not be able to call Kenny Baldwin up. Can you help me with this? Can you show me what this means? Can you pray for this? He might not be able to do that, but I'm telling you something. You can talk to him whenever you want. Amen, folks. Amen, amen. I've gone through the same thing. He's out of town. Now what do we do? Back to nothing as a Christian. I'll never be anything. Have to wait till next June. No, you don't. No, you don't, folks. Listen. I understand, man. I understand He's exciting and He's a wonderful man. I know that. But let me tell you something. It's kind of funny, you know. Some people, man, we never even heard you, like, cough in the church. Then Kenny Baldwin gets preaching and y'all like, amen! I'm like, where'd that come from, you know? Hey, folks, listen. He may be gone, but your intensity should be the same. Your motivation should be the same. Hey, your focus should be the same. Last time I checked, I have the same Bible He does. I'm not talking about Schofield or Ryrie, all that. I'm talking about King James Bible. Amen. I'm talking about the same Word of God that He holds in His hand. I hold in my hand tonight. And many of you hold in your hand. Hey, it's the same Bible. It's the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. It's the same God that I get to talk to every day that He talks to. Let's, folks, you shouldn't just take it as when He shows up, then, you know, we turn the activator on. Now we're running at high levels, right? He goes away. Oh, back to normal. Shouldn't be like that. Every time this book is open, I don't care if it's me, Pastor, Brother Chad, Brother Kim, whoever it might be, whoever it is, if they're opening the book, man, you ought to be all up in it. I don't even know how to say that, but you ought to, come on, give me something. Give me something. When they tell something out of the Bible that's true, you ought to say, that's right, amen. Uh-huh. You know what? People need to see that example out of you. Come on, folks. Y'all don't have to boo. You booed last night, okay? I'm a Yankee fan, Cowboy fan, and I like the Bulls too, okay? So If I'm watching them on TV and you see me over there and I'm not even paying attention to the game, I'm reading a book, eating cookies, laying down, taking a nap, you're not going to think of much of me as a fan, right? Exactly. Right, Mo? You're laughing. I mean, come on. I mean, when they score a touchdown and everybody, yes! What happened? I'd be like the ladies. Those guys with the stripes on their pants, are those ours? Yes, they're ours. You should know this by now, okay? You wouldn't think of much of me as a fan. And folks, I'm not saying you got to just put on a show at church. I'm not saying that. Because if you're not real, shut up. But listen, I mean, come on now. Come on. Come on, really. If somebody's up there preaching the word of God in God's power and you're over here. I don't think much of you as a Christian. Maybe I don't even think you're on the Lord's side. Sorry.
Going to the bathroom. That's right.
You're attending going to the bathroom, brother? I'm going to leave that alone. I got stuff to say, but I'm going to leave it. Hey, folks, and, you know, maybe with some of these things, the person that can change, maybe these things don't apply to you. But folks that are soul winners, everybody should be, by the way, folks that are soul winners, do we really think like this? Hey, I fall into it too, right? I mean, I was preaching about the maniac at Gadara out of Mark chapter 5 before. This guy's life was, I mean, ruined. He's going around screaming. He's walking through the tombs, you know, gothic, whatever. This guy's crazy. Crazy, out of control. They can't bind him with chains, with fetters. No, he breaks them. Demon-possessed. When he met Jesus, he changed. But you know what our problem is? Sometimes we're out on the bus route and we see a guy with cornrows, tattoos, you know, earrings and chains and all this stuff, looking rough. And we think, man, we don't want somebody like that. Oh, we don't? I mean, some of these people used to look like that. God changed them. Why? What, did he stop then? That's the last one. I don't have any more room. He got plenty of room. And he can still do it. Hey, the person that can change, it can be anybody in any situation that you're in. You may be thinking of ending it all, as I said a few minutes ago. May I tell you tonight, there is hope. And it's found in, number two, a partnership with Christ. The person that can change is anybody, if any man be in Christ. But it has to be a partnership with Christ. You say, what does that mean? It says, if any man be in Christ, in Christ. What that's just talking about is basically like a synonym for being saved. If any man is saved, if any person is saved, if they're in Christ. Listen, this partnership has to be a partnership of faith. Of faith. Listen, you know how you get saved? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. That's how you get saved. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, I said, first of all, it's by grace alone. You know what that means? God did all the work of salvation. We didn't do any of it. Okay? God did all the work. It says, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, if it was up to us to save ourselves, we would have been dead and in hell a long time ago. Because we can't do anything. Doesn't matter how much you go to church. I mean, you can baptize yourself every day if you want to. You're still not going to heaven. You can give your whole wallet, credit cards, everything to the offering plate. You're not going to heaven because of that. You can read your Bible and pray. Do whatever you want. That can't get you to heaven. It's by grace alone. It's all a work of God. But just because it's all a work of God doesn't mean you get out free. It's by grace alone. Yes, God did all the work, and we don't deserve any of it, but he did all the work, but it's through faith alone. What that means is just because he did all the work, I still got to receive it for myself. As David would say, I still got to get mine, right? I still got to get mine. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, Brother Robert, man, we got to work in this church about Chick-fil-A. We are mentioning it too much, I'm telling you. Kids are going to grow up in this church, not know John 3:16, but know that Brother Robert works here. I'm just kidding. Blasphemy. No, I'm just kidding. Well, listen, Brother Robert may give you a coupon. Coupon, that's right. A coupon to Chick-fil-A. And you may go, and he may give it to you. Now, you didn't pay for it. You didn't cook chicken. You didn't put the pickles on it. You didn't get the buns and whatever you do with them, toast them, whatever you do, and put them in the little baggy things and do all that. You didn't do all that. But just because he gave you the coupon doesn't mean you're going to get the sandwich right then either. You got to do something too. You got to take the coupon up to the register and say, give me one. Give them the coupon, right? Hey, folks, listen. Jesus died for everybody. He can save anybody. But you got to put your faith in him. I can't put my faith in just something. Okay? I put my faith in Jesus Christ alone. Hey, listen, folks, a lot of people nowadays are, oh, I'm a person of faith. What does that mean? We all have faith. Right? I mean, I have faith that I'm going to drive home tonight and get there safely. Right? I have faith that in a few hours I'm going to eat something. I have faith. I believe. Spicy, amen. That's good. My pleasure. Now, Jeffrey gave this because after I preach, my breath is usually, if you know what I mean. I said, thank you, brother. I need that. Actually, the people need me to need that. This is a partnership of faith. It's by grace alone. God did all the work of salvation. But then Calvinists, when we talk about it, it's through faith alone.
So you're saying you save yourself?
As I was saying, it's not just, listen, you might be a person here, oh, I'm a person of faith. Good for you. That means nothing. Because you know what? You better have your faith in the right person.
That's it.
Like I said, we all have faith in a lot of different things. Some people nowadays, I'm a very spiritual person. And I have faith. In what exactly? I'm not sure. But I have faith. That does you no good. No good at all. Listen, you can put your faith in Muhammad. That won't do you any good. You can put your faith in Allah. That won't do you a bit of good. You can put your faith in the Pope or your good works or your baptism or your church attendance. You can put your faith in Mary. You can put your faith in whoever you want to. But unless you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not go to heaven. You say, that's rough, Tom. That's exactly what the Bible says. Jesus says, I am the way, the only way. The truth and the life. No man cometh from the Father but by me. The Father's in heaven last time I checked. You're not getting to heaven unless you go through Jesus. This needs to be a partnership of faith, but it needs to, afterwards, you get saved, it needs to be a partnership of following. Hey, folks, listen to me. There's too much rebellion and resistance and refusal to what God has to say out of His Word. Listen, you shouldn't, again, I know I keep hearkening back to this, but you shouldn't need Kenny Baldwin to say it just a little bit different than Pastor does for you to finally get it. If it comes out of this book, you should get it then. Pastor William may get up here and say, you need to surrender your life to Christ. Kenny Baldwin may get up here and say, you need to surrender your life to Christ. And then you say, yeah. And then you say, wow. What is this? Do you need somebody to stomp every time they talk to you? Is that it? How you doing today? What are we, horses up here? Come on, folks. You know I'm telling you the truth. Pastor says it 150 times one way, then Kenny Baldwin comes says it another way, and you, oh Lord, thank you for showing me finally what I need. He's been showing you for a long time. You just didn't have your ears on. You know, like this old CB radio, got your ears on. Most of you don't. Him that hath ears, let him hear. It needs to be a partnership of following. There's too much rebellion and resistance and refusal to God's word and God's will. Listen, the Bible says you need to be a soul winner. What are you doing about it? Bible says you need to tithe. What are you doing about it?
Come on.
Like he was talking about, the Bible says children obey your parents. What are you doing about it?
Well, I'm not sure if that's what it means.
That's what it means. Go do something about it. Amen. Absolutely. There ought to be somebody who will follow God's word. And say, God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, whatever you tell me out of your word, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. It shows me where to go. That's what he's saying. You need to get into his work. You need to find his perfect will in your life. Folks, if you do, I'm telling you, if you have this partnership with Christ, it's a partnership of faith. It's a partnership of following. This is going to be a fruitful partnership if you do. Jesus says in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Folks, you say, I wish my Christian life was more fruitful. I wish I saw God doing things and man, just people saved and prayers answered. And I wish I saw all these things happening. Are you abiding in Him? What does that mean? Stay close to Him.
Amen.
Stay close to Him. Yeah, stay close to Him. Stay in church. Stay close to Him. Stay in your Bible. Stay close to Him. Pray every day. Stay close to Him. And then if you abide in him and he'll abide in you, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's the answer to it right there. It'll be a fruitful relationship and you'll find fulfillment in your life. Hey, all these things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Those can't, listen, these are not just, you know, decorations we put up here because they look nice. Oh, what are we going to put on the boxes, Brother Robert? Oh, love. Right? Then we go through the whole thing. You know why God put that in the Bible? Because he wants that not to just be sitting on our front steps at church. He wants that to be sitting in the front steps of your life.
That's right.
Absolutely. Is your life characterized by love for people and love for God? Joy. Are you happy? Are you?
I'm a Christian. Praise God. I'm having a great time.
That's not how it's supposed to be. Peace. Right? You shouldn't be all up over everybody every time they say, you know, something a little sideways to you. What? No, no, no. Shouldn't be like that. Long suffering. That has to do with it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I put up with David and put up with David. That's right, brother. Amen. Get my preacher on tonight. About time you get some of this stuff. Amen. That's right, isn't it, Jeff? Payback is sweet, brother. Vengeance is mine. We'll leave off the rest of the verse. That's all we need to quote for now. My grandma used to do that. It was pretty funny. Listen. You want an extreme makeover life edition? Realize, first of all, the person that can change, just anybody. Realize there needs to be a partnership with Christ. You need to be in Christ. You need to be saved and obeying him. You want your life to change? This is how you do it. Thirdly, I want you to notice the present condition. The present condition. Verse 17, once again, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, notice the next part, the next rest of the verse here. It says, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's not talking about it will be. Well, if you make the good decisions after you get saved, maybe you'll be a new creature. That's not what it's saying. Right? Am I making something up out of the Bible? No, I'm telling you exactly what the Bible says. It says if you are in Christ, he is, right now, a new creature. Presently, currently. Old things are done away with, gone. All things are become new. Right now. Right now. Listen, you say, well, that's not how it is for me. It's talking about positionally. It's talking about in God's eyes. See, when you get saved, in God's eyes, everything changes with you. You might still be holding on to some of the old stuff, which, by the way, you need to get rid of. But in God's eyes, listen to me. All that stuff is gone. Your slate is clean. Praise the Lord. Hey, all the dumb stuff you've done is gone. That's good. Yeah, amen. It's a reality. It's a fact that cannot be changed. I mentioned it earlier, but eternal security is in the Bible. You Arminian folks, maybe in here. You don't have to, oh, I hope I can stay saved to the end of the service because I want to be a blessing to all the folks in here. No, no, no. If you're saved, you're going to be saved. When we're done. Yeah. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus says, you get saved, I place you in my hand. And ain't nobody going to take you out of my hand. Amen. Well, Jesus is going to be walking down the street. What? Oh, no. Oh, no. Once you're in his hand, nobody can get you out of his hand. He's not crushing you either. You're good in there. The present condition. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, when it says you're a new creature, you know what that means? You're a whole new person. Folks, listen to me. Again, you might be in here tonight thinking, Tom, you don't know. You don't know the stuff that I did. Man, maybe I did it last night. Maybe I did it last week. You don't know the dumb stuff I've done. And you don't know the sins that I've been a part of and all this. You can be a whole new person if you get saved, if you get right with God tonight. You can. You can be cleansed. Old things are gone. Amen. Old things are gone. If y'all...
Time out from the message.
Intermission.
No. All the kids like, oh, good, now I get to go to the bathroom. No, you don't. Stay there.
Listen. Time out, break. Would you think about that for just a moment, please? Old things have passed away. Think of one thing in your life, the dumbest, stupidest thing, wickedest thing you've done in your life, and just think, that's gone. Raise your hand when you got it. I'm serious. Raise your hand when you got it.
Even those of you that don't even know what we're talking about. Sure, me too. Yeah. Kind of like the Lay's commercial. You can't think of just one? I got a brother with both hands. Amen. Put your hands down. We're done now. You'll get candy after church. You know what I have to say to that? Old things have passed away. Amen! Woo! That's great! Thank the Lord. Old things have passed away. And not only that, not only are you a new creature and you've been cleansed, but you've been changed. All things are new now. Yeah, not only did they take all the boxes out from all the junk that he had in his life, but God starts to put some new things in your life. A new attitude. I got a new attitude. Sorry. Don't laugh too hard there, buddy. Don't you love when kids do that? When they're just like, ha ha! You're like, chill out. Don't do that when you get older. Yeah. Folks, hey, your attitude should change. Your approach to things should change. Hey, your whole way of thinking should change. When he talked about you shouldn't get, don't take anything from Sodom, there's a lot of stuff the world tries to throw at us. Be not conformed to the image of this world, like he quoted earlier. You know what that means? The world is trying to push us into its mold. Yeah, you can be saved. Yeah, you can be a Christian, but don't act like one. Don't be talking to me about that Jesus stuff. We will just not tolerate that. Because we tolerate everybody except those that are intolerant. We tolerate everybody but except those that are intolerant. Doesn't that mean they're intolerant? Oh my. I don't remember what I said, so sorry. It's too long. I say like a whole paragraph, but I was like, say it again. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter. That far? No, not that far. We'll be here a while. At least we don't have food after church tonight. Like normal. Everything's changed. All things have become new. Hey, I'm almost done, folks, but do people see that change in you? I want them to see a change in me. Folks, I don't do everything that I should, and I get mad at myself sometimes, but I'm telling you, they should see a change in our lives. In so many words, I remember Brother Jed saying this in teen class before. I remember Jeffrey, different people I've talked to. You know, their family says to him in so many words, what happened to you? That's exactly what should happen. They said, man, what happened to you? You used to be cussing us out, man. Now you don't. You barely get mad. You get mad at, you know, only good things. But what happened to you? Man, you used to laugh at these jokes. Now you're not laughing at him. Man, we used to watch all this nasty stuff and you were all up in it. Now you're nowhere to be found. What happened? What happened? That's the way it should be. I've changed. Something's different about me. It's different now. That's the way it should be. That dirty mouth should be gone. That dirty mind should be gone, folks. And that brings us to the last point. Number four, there's some practical choices you need to make. Number one was the person that needs to change. Number two, the partnership with Christ. Number three, the present condition. That's you right now. In God's eyes, you're totally different. But just because that you're that way in God's eyes doesn't mean you're living that practically day to day. Right? That's right. I mean, God may see you as a new creature, but some people may think you act just like you used to. There's some practical choices you need to make so that not only God sees me for who I really am, but those on the earth see me for who I really am too. They see Christ through me. There's some practical choices you need to make. And Paul deals with this here in this passage here. Number one, I want you to notice about the fueling of his ministry. What fueled Paul? I mean, what kept Paul going? I mean, did Paul just go to conferences all the time? Is that what happened? Did Paul just preach a lot so he kept himself amped up? I mean, what happened? How did Paul all these times continually serve God and be on fire for God? How did he do it? Verse 14 gives us a hint at that. He was sensitive to Christ dying. He never forgot about that. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. You know what constrains means? It means motivates. It means keep me going. Listen, teenagers, you want your decision to stick? Love Christ. And think about how much he loves you. That's really what he's focused on here. He says, listen, Paul's thinking, after all I've done, after all the junky stuff that I've done, I mean, I persecuted the church, I killed Christians, I threw them in jail, I was totally against Christ. But now he saved me. He died on the cross for me. And he saved my soul. He said, when I get discouraged, you know what? I think of that and I keep going. When I get down, I think of that and I keep on going. When people start talking about me, which they absolutely will to you,
Uh-huh. When they start talking about you, you think of that and you keep on going. Amen. When you have a tough day on the bus route or a tough day on the van route, tough day in church, instead of quitting, instead of, I don't know if this church is working for me anymore. Instead of saying that, you ought to just think, the love of Christ constrains me. Keeps me going, keeps me motivated, keeps me going after it every single day. Keeps me bringing it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the baseball say, bring it, man, come on. Turn up the intensity, turn up the energy. Let's go, bring it. Hey, Christian, bring it tonight. Let's go. Let's go get that world. Let's go beat up that devil. Let's go serve Jesus like he should be served. You know, I don't want to get to the end of my life, stand before him, and Jesus says, have you given your best? And I say, honestly, I can't say that, Lord. Do you want to have to say that? No, of course not. But a lot of times now, that's how we live. We want to give Jesus a, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. There's some practical choices. Listen, you need to be sensitive to his dying. His love for me was displayed on Calvary. His love for me is demonstrated every single day by how he takes care of me and provides for me and protects me. Folks, I was driving on the Beltway today. God protects all of us. Good night, man. I mean, I'm late, so I'm like rolling to get these kids. And unbelievable. I mean, really, come on now. If you stop and think about it, a lot of us are like that far from dying about every single day. Thank God for him, for his protection. And not only for us, but for our families and friends, for our church family. Unbelievable, the God that we serve. And you say he doesn't love you? What's wrong with you? He displayed his love on Calvary for you. He died for you. But he demonstrates it every single day. You know what? That should produce durability in our lives. Listen, teenager, please. Adult, please. If Jesus did all that for you, you shouldn't roll out like that. I mean, really, it should take a lot more for you to quit church. Nothing, really. There shouldn't be anything that should take you out of church. But it should take a lot more than somebody just sitting in your pew or saying something to you.
Right.
Well, you know what? I really think you missed that note really bad in your song. You know what? You sing it then. Now, Kenny tells you that, you're probably right. When you're singing them notes and you're like, and Kenny's like, no. He's right. Most other people don't even know what to talk about. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Folks, but it should take a lot more than that for you to...
All those decisions at youth conference, gone. I didn't expect this.
He just told you the devil's going to come after you last night. What were you expecting? What did you expect the devil to...
I don't like you. Would you please quit serving God?
No, devil. You really think that's how the devil works? Well, Willie and I used to talk about it. You know what the devil does? It's like as soon as you get out of church, but especially Monday morning, it's like the devil goes, ding, ding. Come on. Boom, 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 boom. And we're over there. Do I really need to read my Bible today? Yeah, you do. That's right.
Adrian!
Glad the Morley's got that one. Cut me, Mick. Cut me. Oh, right. Folks, it's gonna listen. You want to be changed? It's gonna be a fight.
Excuse me. It's gonna be a fight. I kind
of right there. It's gonna be a fight. You wanna build up that bus route? It's gonna be a fight. You wanna be a soul winner? It's gonna be a fight. You wanna be in your Bible and pray every day? It's gonna be a fight. Cause I guarantee you, somebody's gonna text you. Somebody's gonna call you. Some situation is gonna happen. We really need to talk to you. Sorry, I need a minute. I've got to talk to God. I've got to get with him. Because I can't make it throughout the day if I don't do that. No way. You got to be sensitive to his dying and say, you know what, God, since you died for me, since you gave your all for me, I'm not going to quit just like that. Next time you think about quitting, you think about that. The love of Christ constraineth me. Hey, we can't quit knocking on doors. We can't quit showing up Thursday night. You can't quit visiting your bus route on Saturday. You can't quit that bus route. You can't quit coming to church. You can't get out of your Bible. I'm telling you, the love of Christ, can you think about this? After all he's done for me, and I won't even do that stuff for him. Lord, help us. But not only was he sensitive to his dying, he had a selfless devotion. Look at verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Folks, I'm not going to go into this in detail, but we shouldn't be selfish as Christians. It should be all about him, not all about us. He says, now those that are alive, they shouldn't henceforth live unto themselves, all about me. but they should live for Him that died for them and rose again. It should be all about Him. How can I do more for Christ? How can I love Him more? How can I go farther? How can I abound in the work of the Lord? What can I do more for Him, for Him, for Him? It's a selfless devotion. We've seen the fueling of Paul's ministry, but last thing. Sorry, I need to mention this. Folks, Paul didn't keep going on emotion. He didn't. There's no way he would have made it. He didn't keep going on applause. He didn't keep going on approval of people. He didn't keep going just off the joy of serving God, because sometimes it's not there. He didn't go off of how it makes him feel inside. Ooh. That's not what kept Paul going. Because let me tell you something. You know, if you're going to serve God, you're going to feel embarrassed a lot. You're going to feel isolated a lot. You're going to feel alienated a lot. People are going to make fun of you and talk about you. And you'll feel the cold shoulder. And you'll feel the room, you know, get turned up about 8 million degrees. Talk about me turning red. Even black people turn red at that. No, just kidding. Pastor was up here tonight and said, man, Tut looks nervous. I said, is he turning blacker? He said, I don't know. I was up here shaking his hand, checking him out. Folks, and he didn't keep going on those things. You know how he kept going? Because he loved Christ. And he remembered all the love. We love him because he first loved us. Hey, you may hate God in here tonight. God loves you. That's not going to last forever. I mean, his love is everlasting and all that stuff. But his mercy on you will run out at some point. He loves you, though. He loves you so much that he died for you. You say, yeah, I've heard that. Think about it for a minute. That's powerful. And you're just gonna, you know, get out of here to God. Reject him. I love you, but you're an idiot. Oh, yeah. Not only the fueling of his ministry, last couple things, the functions of his ministry. Folks, listen. Here's some practical things you need to make a decision to do. Real quick. Verses 18 through 20, real quick. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." I'm just going to leave it at that point for now, because I don't need to read the rest of the verse for time. He said, listen, God has reconciled us unto himself through Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? Before you are reconciled, you are at a state of being enemies with God. Yeah. You hated God, and God hated your sin. Okay, that's how you were. When Jesus died for you and you accepted that, it's like two people that hate each other coming together, and now they love each other. That's what reconciliation is. That's what happened to you when you got saved. But you know what? Look at verse 18 again. I had, who was that? Sean Lunday. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us. If you circle that us, if you're in the custom of doing that in your Bible, us, circle that, to himself by Jesus Christ hath given to us. Circle that if you would. And then draw a line between the two circles. It's the same people. The same people that receive the reconciliation have the responsibility of telling others about being reconciled. What is that talking about, Tom? Soul winning. Soul winning. You need to be a preacher of reconciliation. You need to be a soul winner. Folks, how about that? How about that? How about that after this conference? Where are you going to be tomorrow night? Honestly. What are you going to be doing? You need to be a preacher of reconciliation. Hey, Jesus did it for me. Hey, God used to hate my sin and I used to hate God, but now we've been reconciled. How about you? That's what you need to be now, a preacher of reconciliation. And also, you're going to be a personal representative. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ. If you're saved, these are some practical choices you need to make. Now, yeah, we all have these responsibilities, but what are you going to do with them? That's what I'm asking you. Are you going to be a person that preaches reconciliation to people? Your sins can be forgiven today. Jesus died for your sins. Are you going to be a soul winner? What kind of ambassador are you going to be for the Lord? A personal representative. You know what an ambassador is? It's a representative from a foreign country. A representative from a foreign country. That's what we are. He says, now then we pray, we are ambassadors for Christ. As God, I'm not going to spend time really explaining this, but notice the rest of the verse. Just think about it. As though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. That's instead of him. He's not here right now. He's in heaven, right? He's saying instead of Christ, we're taking his place for now. Wow. You know what that means? The work that Jesus started on the cross, we need to finish. Yeah, he finished the work on the cross. I know. It is finished and all that. But people are never going to get saved unless they hear it. How should they hear without a preacher? We got to finish it. Unbelievable. Amazing.
The last thing, you need to be a practicer of righteousness. You say, I don't think that's a word. I don't think it is either, but I thought I'd use it. Verse 21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, this is talking about positional. See, when you got saved, Jesus took all your sin, and he gave you all his righteousness. That's what happened when you got saved. But, folks, after you're saved, now you need to be doing it in your own life. You need to be practicing righteousness. You know what that means? Live right. Live right. That's your jobs now. As a Christian, what kind of soul winner are you? What kind of ambassador are you? Folks, teenagers, that's why we're on you about the way you dress, the stuff you listen to, the way you talk. You represent Jesus Christ. So you can't jam to anything you want. You can't, young lady, wear whatever you want to. Fellas, you can't wear whatever you want to either. Pants falling off your backside, your shirt's looking like dresses. No. That doesn't work. And the skinny jeans, don't get me started on that.
They're the style now.
You know where it started? Queers. Where do you think guys walking like this started from? Hello? You can't do anything else when you got tight jeans. Your hips don't go anywhere. Okay? That's all you can do. You say, oh, Tom, stop it. Yeah. That's where it started. Come on now, fellas. Don't make me joan on you, okay? I mean, if you just give me a reason like that, so I got to. Amen. I mean, that's right. These are practical choices you need to make. Hey, what's going to fuel you after this conference when the emotion's gone? When Kenny Baldwin's gone? What's going to fuel you? What's going to keep you going? Hey, I hope it's the love of Christ. I hope it's a selfless devotion saying, I'm not living for myself, I'm living for Him. And the functions of it, you need to be a preacher of reconciliation. Hey, folks, get reconciled to God before it's too late. I did. You can now too. You need to be a personal representative, an ambassador for Him, and a practicer of righteousness. You need to be doing it yourself. Hey, folks, I'm done. This has been a great conference. It really has. But in the days ahead, let's live it out. Let's live it out so that the world around us will see that, you know what? I've had an extreme makeover, Life Edition. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how good you are to us, Lord.